This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way that your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please remain seated while Little Church lead us in singing This Little Light of Mine.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for today and everything in it. Thank you for every single person in this church today. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us all individual and unique. And Lord, like a sculptor, you formed us in our mother's womb. And yet, when we were still unformed, you loved us and you knew us better than we could ever know ourselves. Lord, thank you that we are like clay, and you, the potter, take time to shape us and form us into the way you want us to be for your purpose. And when needed, you add on to our life and you take away so we can continue to live in you as children of the living God. Lord, refine us like silver and make us beautiful articles in your sight. Lord, like gold, purify us from all sin and unrighteousness. I pray for any broken vessels in this building right now, any people who feel like they are breaking or are broken, people who have been hurt and need your touch, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God who restores broken vessels. Lord, you unite what is far apart and you mend what is broken. Lord, thank you that you're not finished with us, that you continue to work on us, to bear with us with your never-ending mercy, grace, love, righteousness, and justice. Thank you for putting us through the kiln of life, trials and tests that make us strong and humble in heart, so nothing can separate us from you. Lord, you're holy. You are the vine and we are the branches. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for creating us so that we are made in your image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, God's masterpieces. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now Kids Church will sing Priceless Treasure.
3, 2, 1. Way! Very good. That was brilliant, wasn't it? Very, very good. Does anyone know what painting this is? Yeah. Yes, the Mona Lisa. And does anyone know who painted it? Yeah, do you want to try? Brilliant, big hand, Leonardo da Vinci, well done, very good. And I've got a question for you to think about. What does looking at this picture tell us about Leonardo da Vinci? Can you think of anything? Yeah. They're a really good artist, yeah, absolutely. And I look at it, I also think Leonardo probably really liked painting people. He really was very skilled at that. And he was very intrigued by this lady's very mysterious expression. Brilliant. So we've learned a couple of things about Leonardo da Vinci just by looking at his painting. Can you guys cover up again? And I'll need another volunteer to help in a second. I'm just going to... You've already seen this painting, but anyway, we're going to pretend it's a surprise. Yeah, you had your hand up. Do you want to come and reveal? Okay, a very dramatic fashion for us. Way, well done, very good, very good. Thank you very much. I think I should have used blue tack, by the way. Anyway, it's all good. Does anyone, I would be a little bit more surprised if you know what this one is, but does anyone know? Yeah, what do you think it's called? It's a bit like a Disney castle, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Do you know what it's called? Yeah. It does look a bit like the Disney castle. I fully agree with you. I heard it in the audience from someone just a second ago. Starry Night. Starry Night. Brilliant. Big hand. Very good. Very good. And John, I know you know who the painter is. You don't know who the painter is. Does anyone know who the painter is? Do you know? Go on. Say again, sorry. Yeah, brilliant. Van Gogh. Brilliant. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Very good. And again, the question is, what do you think we can tell about the painter from the painting in front of? Yeah, he really likes patterns, and he's very good at using colors to create different patterns. That's a really good idea. Yeah, thank you. What do you think? Yeah, he might well have used pastels for this guy. Absolutely, very good. Any in the audience, what do you think you can tell about the painter from looking at this painting? Shout out just for me. He was amazed by a beautiful sky. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, guys. I need one final volunteer. Thank you, John and Emmett. Yeah, you in the corner. Okay. And when you're ready, you can rip it off in a very dramatic fashion. Hooray! Now, I want you to have a quick look at this painting for me, just before you sit down. What's this painting of? You! Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely. It's a painting of you, and it's a picture of you, and it's a picture of you, and of all of you in the audience. Can you see yourselves? Give us a wave. Yeah, very good. This is a mirror. It's a painting or a picture or an image of you. Who's the creator? Who painted this? Nobody, maybe. That's a good idea. Yeah. No one. Any other ideas? Jesus, it's the Sunday school answer. But yeah, I was looking for it. Absolutely. God is the creator. God created you. And I'm going to ask you to think about this on your way back to your seats. But what does looking at you tell us about our creator God? What can we think about? What can we learn about looking at ourselves about God? Okay? You're going to ponder that. Think about that as you head back to your seats. Thanks very much. Big round of applause for everyone, guys. Thank you. Thanks. Very good. Where did my lectern go? That's over there. Ooh, brilliant. Very good. So we're thinking about our creator God, and so much of what we've already sung and that puppet show is really, really relevant to what we're thinking about this morning. So we're going to think about our creator God. The Bible says that we were created by our loving God. He made us. And it says that on multiple different levels. It says it, first of all, that God created all of mankind. If you read the Genesis creation story, hands up if you know how many days it took for God to create the world. Yeah. Yeah, 6 or 7, if depending on who you want. He rests on the 7th day. Yeah, that's his creation story. That tells us about how God created the world and everything in it. He created the earth, the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the light, the dark, the plants and the animals. And he said about all of them that they were good. But on day 6, he created human beings. And he created them in his own image. He created them to look a bit like God. He created the men and women, male and female. And he let us live in the world. And he said that his creation, these human beings, were very good. He said everything else was good. But he said that people were very good. We are his very good creation. So he created all of mankind, but he also created us individually. If you were to read Psalm 193, which is a really brilliant poem that you can find about halfway through the Bible, you would read, and I think someone said it earlier, that God knit you together in your mother's womb. Hands up anyone in the audience who can knit or crochet. Good to see a few. Yeah, very good. My mom tried to teach me how to crochet, and it was a terrible idea. It did not go well. But it's fascinating watching it, isn't it? Someone wants to knit together a scarf. They decide what that scarf looks like, what colors are going to be in, how long it's going to be. They decide every detail about that scarf, and then they start knitting it. They start crocheting it together, putting all those little fibers together and make this item. That's a bit like what God did to you in your mother's tummy. God decided exactly who you're going to be, exactly what your hair color is going to be. He knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He knows how tall you're going to be or not be in my case. Everything about you, he knows. And he designed you and he delights in the way that you are. And that doesn't just include the kids, by the way. Hands up, adults in the room. Yeah, very good. The dads, the mums, everyone. God created you as well, and he delights in the way that you are right now. I think sometimes we think about that lots for kids, and we forget about ourselves too. So God created all of mankind, and he created all of us individually. But that verse that we heard earlier, that Lexi, was it, read for us? that shows us a whole other level of creativity. God's masterpiece is the phrase that it used. That reading that we had was an extract from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul was a Christian who was writing this letter to a church in a faraway city that he once known before, and he knew that city was very flashy and important and big. It was a bit more like the size probably of Belfast than of Bangor. And there, everyone was very busy in Ephesus. Everyone had lots to live for. They looked like they had lots to do. They looked like they were very important people, places to go, people to see. And there was this little church in Ephesus who were amongst all these very busy, important-looking people, and they felt a little bit insignificant. They felt like, do we really have the truth? Do we really have the power that God says we have? When we look at all these people around us who seem to be so busy and doing so much, they felt a little bit insignificant, a little bit doubtful. And Paul wanted to write to them to tell them something. He wanted to remind them all that God had done for them and all that God was doing in them. It's a bit like that kids under construction. Everything that God is doing in them today. So that this church might feel a little bit small and insignificant, but Paul wanted to remind them that they had the true secret of life. God said, and Paul says earlier in this letter, that everyone was living in sin. The Bible says that's a bit like living but not living. It's a bit like living but filling our lives with busy things, things that make us look like we're really creative, doing loads of things and really colorful, but actually, they're not things that make us truly alive. Actually, they're things that are living in ways that are actually empty, that are not truly joyful or caring or life-giving. And sometimes we act in ways which are a bit selfish or make us hurt other people or ourselves. And Paul is saying, hey, Christians, you have been saved from that. God has made you truly alive in Jesus. God has given you a new life. That's what that reading said. Paul is saying that our loving God was so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. The Bible says that Jesus died on a cross instead of us and that God did bring Jesus back to life and he brought us along with Jesus too. Christians are those who have been given a new life because they have said yes to Jesus. And Paul says that is God's masterpiece creation, that new creation in our hearts. It's that we've suddenly let God transform our lives to change us from the inside out. And it's not that God's starting again. It's not that he's like ripping the painting off the easel and starting with a brand new picture. It's still you. It's still us. But that same wonderful person that God lovingly knit together, we're letting God paint an even bigger, better picture in our lives. We're becoming God's masterpiece. We're being filled with a new purpose, a new reason for living. We can live with joy in Jesus. Paul says that God's true masterpieces are those who are letting God create them anew in Christ Jesus, being saved from sin to life. But Paul doesn't just stop there. Paul goes on. Paul says that we're created anew in Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Our new purpose, our new reason for living is to live for Jesus, to grow up and be whatever we're going to be some kids here. Some of you might be thinking you might be an astronaut someday or a teacher or a nurse or a dad or something else, whatever you want. That's great. Suddenly, you're going to do it with Jesus. That's encouragement for all of us. No matter what we're doing, our purpose is to do it with Jesus. Living with Jesus so that when you face hard times in your life, you can know that God is still in control. You can know that God is truly in control. He's bigger than the things that are kind of facing you this day. He's got purposes and bigger things planned for you. Or it can be living with Jesus so that you can say no to sin in your life, so that you can think about those hang-ups or those ways of behaving or treating others which aren't very nice, but you can't seem to stop doing. You can say no to them. It might take a lifetime, it might take ages, to kind of get over those things. But with Jesus and with God's Spirit in you, you know that you will win. Or it even could just be that living with Jesus so that you never need to be lonely again. You can have a church family and friends, all united in Jesus, all united in Christ, all part of a big worldwide family of God's masterpieces. Christians everywhere, a family growing even in Bangor here to come to know Jesus, inviting others to know Jesus too. And we can become people who show others what our Creator is like. Just like we were thinking earlier, looking at the Mona Lisa shows us a little bit about what Da Vinci was like. He really liked painting faces, really good art. He loved all that sort of thing. Well, looking at each other, looking at us, we can see a little bit about what God is like. God is a God of love. He loves us deeply. He loves us so much. He wants to save us, to always treat us with grace, to always forgive us, to always work in us, no matter what we do or whatever we say. God loves to work in and bless his people. So I want us to turn to each other. And that last verse in that reading, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece, that he created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago." I want everyone to turn to each other and say, "You are God's masterpiece." Do you think we could do that? On three, one, two, three. Brilliant. Very good. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Emma and the band to lead us in our next song. Let's pray. Father God, you are so rich in love and mercy that you would save us and you would spend every day of the rest of our lives working in us to transform us to be your masterpiece. I pray, Father, you would help us to listen to you and to love and be filled with joy and purpose as we let you work in our hearts. We are your masterpiece, and that brings us joy. Please, would that be something that we can celebrate and encourage each other with for the rest of today, the rest of this week, and the rest of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.